Bibles to the final chapter of the book of Leviticus, chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When a man shall make a singular vow, the persons shall be for the Lord by thy estimation. And thy estimation shall be of the male from 20 years old even unto 60 years old, even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. And if it be a female, then thy estimation shall be 30 shekels. And if it be from 5 years old, even unto 20 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 20 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. And if it be from a month old, even unto 5 years old, then thy estimation shall be for the male 5 shekels of silver, and for the female thy estimation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if it be from 60 years old and above, if it be a male, then thy estimation shall be 15 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. But if he be poorer than thy estimation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall value him according to his ability that vowed, shall the priest value him. And if it be a beast whereof men bring an offering unto the Lord, that all that any man giveth of such unto the Lord shall be holy. He shall not alter it nor change it, a good for a bad, or a bad for a good. And if he shall at all change beast for beast, then it and the exchange thereof shall be holy. And if it be any unclean beast, of which they do not offer a sacrifice unto the Lord, then he shall present the beast before the priest, and the priest shall value it, whether it be good or bad, as thou valuest it, who art the priest, so shall it be. But if he will at all redeem it, then he shall add a fifth part thereof unto thy estimation. And when a man shall sanctify his house to be holy unto the Lord, then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad, as the priest shall estimate it, so shall it stand. And if he that sanctified it will redeem his house, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be his. And if a man shall sanctify unto the Lord some part of a field of his possession, then thy estimation shall be according to the seed thereof, and homer of barley shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. If he sanctify his field from the year of Jubilee, according to thy estimation, it shall stand. But if he sanctify his field after the Jubilee, then the priest shall reckon unto him the money according to the years that remain even unto the year of Jubilee, and then it shall be abated from thy estimation. And if he that sanctified the field will in any wise redeem it, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be assured to him. And if he will not redeem the field, or if he have sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed any more. But the field, when it goeth out in the Jubilee, shall be holy unto the Lord, as a field devoted. The possession thereof shall be the priest's. And if a man sanctify unto the Lord a field which he hath bought, which is not of the fields of his possession, then the priest shall reckon unto him the worth of thy estimation, even unto the year of Jubilee, and he shall give thine estimation in that day as a holy thing unto the Lord. In the year of the Jubilee the field shall return unto him, of whom it was bought, even to him to whom the possession of the land did belong. And all thy estimations shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary. 20 gerahs shall be the shekel. Only the firstling of beasts, which should be the Lord's firstling, no man shall sanctify it. Whether it be ox or sheep, it is the Lord's. And if it be of unclean beast, then he shall redeem it according to thine estimation, and shall add a fifth part of it thereto. Or if it be not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation, notwithstanding. No devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. None devoted, which shall be devoted of men, shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. If a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Well, it's a confusing passage if you don't know what we're talking about. It's a difficult thing to know exactly what we're talking about because it's a different society. It's hard to understand what it means to sanctify a thing, to devote a thing, to redeem a thing, all of this, all these terms swirling around. Let's just kind of take it apart so we have a good understanding of what's being done. First of all, understand that when the priest estimates the value of the thing that is being devoted or given to the Lord, is being sanctified unto the Lord, that's not something the priest gives the guy that's performing the vow. That's something that the guy that's vowing gives to the priest along with the thing that he's bringing. So, for instance, speak unto the children of Israel and say to them, when a man shall make a singular vow, the persons shall be for the Lord by thy estimation. And thy estimation shall be of the male from 20 years old, even unto 60 years old, even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. So if a man had a servant that was 20 years old that he wanted to dedicate to the Lord's service, he could bring him to the door of the tabernacle, and the priest would say, I'll take him and the 50 shekels of silver. And that would be devoted to the Lord. Given over to, not, you know, I keep using the word devoted, but the word devoted has a different context. Devoted is haram, which means utterly destroyed. Like Ai, right? I'm sorry, like Jericho. The problem happened at Ai, but Jericho was haram, or cherem, or cheram. And that meant that it was to be completely destroyed. So that was the devoted thing. But there are other things that were sanctified to the Lord. Now what this does is this sheds light on, for instance, 1 Samuel chapter 1, where Hannah says, O my Lord, speaking to Eli, if the Lord will be pleased to give me a child, then I will devote him, or I will sanctify him to the Lord, that he may serve forever. You see, that's what she did with her firstborn son. She brought him to Eli the priest and presented him as soon as he was weaned at the door of the tabernacle, probably along with, I guess it was 15 shekels of silver. Now we understand what Jephthah did when he came back from the great victory and said, whatever comes out from my door, I will give unto the Lord. I will sacrifice unto the Lord. We're not talking about a human sacrifice that Jephthah did. We're talking about this very thing where it happened to be his daughter. He was hoping it would be one of his hired servants. But it was his daughter instead, his only daughter, his only way to keep his name alive in Israel. And when she came out, he said, oh, my daughter, you've laid me low. She went out for 40 days, bewailed her virginity because she had no offspring to carry the family name. And then she was sanctified. She was given to the temple as a perpetual servant. Now we understand what happened in the days of Hophni and Phinehas when there were women that attended the tabernacle service. Those were women that were dedicated to the Lord in Exodus chapter 38. Turn with me to Exodus 38. Verse 8. And he made the laver of brass, and the foot of it brass, of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. You see, these women were those that were given over to the service of the Lord. They said, we don't need our brass mirrors anymore. We're given over to the service of the Lord. So they gave up their brass mirrors. And Moses took them and he made the lavers out of them. There were people in the Old Testament that were completely given over to the service of the Lord. It was, for instance, if you were a father or a mother, you could vow a vow unto the Lord, because the Lord has been so great to me, I'm going to give him my son. That's what Hannah did. Let's not think that's such a bad thing. It's a great thing. It was a wonderful thing for Samuel, wonderful thing for Israel. Or you could do what Jephthah did, right? Thinking it might have been a servant. Whatever comes forth from the door of my home, I'm going to give in service to the Lord. Well, it happened to be his daughter. But you could do that. And then when you came, you would bring, and it's by years and by strength and by usefulness, according to the Old Testament economy. Right? So you have some money for some and some money for other, depending on their age and their gender. And so they were brought before the door of the tabernacle, and there they served forever. And the one vowing the vow also brought the estimation of the priest to be given as well, along with the gift of the servant. Okay, so that's the first portion. Does that help clear things up a little bit? In the second portion, verses 14 and following, well, let's go on a little bit farther here in verses 9 and 10. If it be a beast, whereof men bring an offering unto the Lord, all that any man giveth of such unto the Lord shall be holy. He shall not alter it nor change it, not a good for a bad or a bad for a good. If you vow something to the Lord, you don't go back next week and say, hey, can I have a do-over? All of our interactions with God are to be what? Well, they're inviolable, right? They're supposed to be done with truth and sincerity. And so you don't vow a white goat one week, and then you think, gee, I need more white goats in my herd. So you come back the next week and you say, oh, can I trade the brown for a white? Can't do that. All of your decisions with the Lord are to be true and sincere decisions and final decisions, right? We're supposed to be true and sincere with Him. Notice that you could offer an unclean beast also. You could sanctify an unclean beast for the use of the tabernacle. Well, unclean. What does unclean mean? It means you couldn't eat it. Well, you couldn't eat a mule, but you could certainly dedicate a mule to the Lord's service. And so the priests could use it. Hopefully not to haul the ox cart, right? Or the tabernacle around it. But they could do other things with it. You see, there were all kinds of things that you could bring before the Lord that became sanctified, holy, for use unto the Lord. And what is the teaching of that? Well, the teaching of that is simply Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies living sacrifices unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed unto this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So, in seeing all of these persons and animals that are dedicated unto the Lord, that are sanctified unto Him, we see that we ourselves are to be a people consecrated unto the Lord. That while there was a formal way of doing that in the Old Testament, there is also a way of doing this in the New Testament that the Apostle Paul enumerates for us in Romans 12, 1 and 2. All of our lives are to be lived as sacrifices before the Lord. Now that is not to say that there are not times of explicit worship. You know, the all of life is worship principle always works out to none of life is worship. Right? If everything is worship, then nothing is worship. There are times that are explicitly worship, like one day in seven. And yet, in another sense, all of our lives are consecrated unto the Lord. We are His people. We've been marked out as His. We belong to Him. So whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we are to do all to the glory of God, the Apostle tells us. All right, so then the second portion, beginning in verse 14, we're going to talk about inanimate property. First, we talked about servants and animals, or even sons and daughters. Now we're going to talk about houses and lands. Okay? Now, a house you could devote or you could sanctify for a period of time. You could even buy it back. Okay? When a man shall sanctify his house to be holy unto the Lord, then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad. As the priest shall estimate it, so shall it stand. And if he that sanctified it will redeem his house, he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be his. Okay, so you could get it back. If you devoted it, if you dedicated it, sanctified it unto the Lord, and the priests and the temple cultists, the temple population, had use of it, you could buy it back. But if you bought it back, you paid a penalty. You paid a 20% penalty because you had gone back on your devotional to the Lord. Okay? Then we talk about the fields. Now, fields were a different matter from houses because the land was part of that typological promise that the Lord gave to His people. And every 50 years, all the land went back where it belonged. All the borders were restored. So while if you lived in Benjamin and you bordered on Judah and you were a rich Benjamite and you purchased a great big pocket out of, you know, the land of Judah, right, the tribe of Judah, well, that border reverted back to where it belonged every Jubilee. And then you could go and buy it again if you wanted. Okay? So all of that then has to be figured into if you're going to dedicate a field to the Lord. You're going to dedicate a field to the Lord. That means all of the proceeds of the field go to the priestly service. Okay? So the Levites would receive that field, they would cultivate it, and all of the growth from that field, all of the issue from that field would go to the service of the priests. And if you had a field that was worth, you know, this field here will produce so many ephahs of grain, well, then it was estimated at so many shekels per ephah, and so you gave those shekels along with that field. All right, but the field could not be had forever unless, and there was one condition under which the field could be had forever. If he that sanctified the field will in any wise redeem it, then he shall add the fifth part of the money. So again, you could buy it back for a fifth, or you could leave it as the priests in service of the Lord. But now, if you were a tenant and not an owner, if you had bought a field, let's say you were that rich Benjamite, and you bought out of the land of Judah a large portion, and you wanted to give a portion of that, well, then the priest would give you the estimation of the grain that he would hope to receive from now until the Jubilee. But then at Jubilee, everybody understood that that land went back to Judah. Okay? Makes a lot of sense once you sort it all out, right? All this is the heart of the Israelite was especially pricked or especially encouraged by a particular providence of the Lord. A great thankfulness that the Lord had done something for him. And so out of his thankfulness, he wanted to give more than just a peace offering where he invited all of his friends to have a party before the Lord. He wanted to give something up permanently to the Lord. And so he would. He would give up a servant, even a son. He would give up a house, a beast, clean or unclean. He would give up a portion of his land and say, this is dedicated unto the Lord. The Lord has been so gracious, so rich to me, that I want to do this in return to show forth my thankfulness. All right, so then we go on. We talk about the tithe. All right? You can redeem your tithe. Did you know that? How can you redeem your tithe? Don't you have to give up your tithe? Yes. Yes. But you could redeem your tithe. For instance, let's say you had a year that you didn't have enough crops grow. And so rather than giving up your tithe, you would hold back some or all of your tithe so that you would have seed corn. You couldn't plant. If you planted, if you gave up the tenth part and planted, you wouldn't have enough to sustain. So you had to plant every seed that you were able to harvest that year. You could allay your tithe for 1 year, and then you could pay it the next year and add the fifth part to it. You could pay the penalty because that was owed unto the Lord, just like the other stuff that you'd already given to the Lord. See, you can't dedicate your tithe to the Lord. You know why? It's already His. It's already His. So if you don't give up your tithe, then you have to add the fifth part unto it. You pay that penalty because you were unable to tithe at that particular portion. Notice also that the firstlings, the beasts, could not be given over to the Lord in such a sanctified way. You know why? Because they were His anyway. You can't say, oh, I'm going to do an act of real devotion and I'm going to give up my firstling. Well, no, that already belongs to the Lord. You can't give up that as an act of volunteerism before the Lord because He already owns it. It's already His. So that's that's meaningless. There is nothing there. All right, so then you could redeem your tithes. You add the fifth part. And then concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, that was done automatically. And that passed under the rod. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That one's mine. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That one's mine. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That was mine. That's what the Lord said. And the rod was held out by the priest. So every tenth. And it didn't matter, a good one or a bad one. You ran them through the chute, and one out of ten went to the Lord. You could not devote those. You could not dedicate those before the Lord because they were already His. All right, so that's Leviticus chapter 27. That helped clear that up? All right, good stuff. So we learn a little bit about Jephthah. We learn a little bit about Samuel. We learn a little bit about the women of Exodus chapter 38. And also the women of 1 Samuel 2:22. 1 Samuel 2:22, we find out that Hophni and Phinehas, the two wicked sons of Eli, sons of Levi also, but yes, the sons of Eli, we find that they abused those women who were dedicated to the Lord. Okay, that's 1 Samuel 2:22. Well, there you go. And that just speaks more and more to the wickedness of those two sons of Eli. All right, thus ends the reading then of Leviticus chapter 27.